I must say, again, you guys responded very interestingly. I received a few emails. Yes, I'll be honest, I haven't read some of them. Some of you have access to the WhatsApp. So some of you sent me WhatsApp. One of you sent me a 12-minute long voice note. Yeah, friend, I love you. Don't be a babe on my voice notes. That's me. Yeah, but thank you for responding so positively and so, responding is the thing, you know, when you share some of the things that you think you know, some of your rumblings, and when people respond in whatever manner that they respond, it is validating. So thank you for taking the time to even record that 12-minute long voice note. Thank you for writing in to me, because I think I got about 4 WhatsApps. And then the emails, I just remember just seeing quite a bit of them, but I did not get the chance to read them because I was doing what? I was preparing to come to Joburg. I was just busy. Year end is busy for me for many, many reasons. But one of the most biggest reasons is that from October until December 10, my focus is on recruiting and enrolling my new students for my 10-month-long program of Stretch with Lebule. So my time is preoccupied by those things, you know, preparing the content for the new year, creating the school. I mean, this time I'm doing it, I think I've shared this with you. This time I'm not going to do direct teaching on Facebook. The lessons will all be done on my Stretch with Lebule platform. As we speak, we are busy with the template of how it's going to work. And there was a time where I thought I would use existing platforms like Teachable. People who are coaches and people who do online courses, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, and people who do online courses, you know, these certainly coach and healing stuff, you probably are familiar with Teachable. I thought I would go Teachable route, but I have very powerful advisors. And the powerful advisors are saying, the more you own your own platforms and your own content, the better you are, because in as much as, you know, yes, Teachable gives you the platform, but it's actually not your own. And I don't know, they went on and told me why it's advantageous. Yes, it's a bit of it's kind of expensive, because everything is you, hey? I'm building an online platform where you guys can access the content that I created. And also they went further to say, but you see, if it's your own content, you are able to play around with it, you are able to sell it in a particular way, you are able to package it and you can do quite a lot more with it because it's at your own space. So I am taking those pains so that I can, you know, it's more long term for me than to just do things that are easy, you know? If it's easy, you know the gist. So this year, hence I'm very busy this time around, because the content is going to be delivered in both video and text. So let's say you registered to join the Stretch 2020 as my student. You'll obviously be part of the Facebook group, because that's where the discussion and the support and that will always be there. Facebook will always be there. The Facebook group, it's very effective. One of the best groups you can actually have is a Facebook group. I don't know why people have WhatsApp groups for work-related type of thing. Just create a Facebook group. Make it secret if you don't want people to see it. So the group will remain, because that's where the student can interact. That's where I show up twice or three times a week, where we then discuss the content that they are absorbing and they are consuming. So let's say you have registered and I give you login details. You go to Stretch with Lebule, and then you click student login. You put in your login details that I would have given you after you had paid. And so what you'll see immediately is the actual curriculum, what I'm gonna cover for the next 10 months, and then the active lessons, because active lessons would be the January ones. And then you click on there, you will find a video and a text, or sometimes it would be a video only, or it would be text only. So we're just playing around with different ways so that you are not bored, you know? And so I just went on and on there. I was explaining why I'm busy year end. And also year end is just one of those things, you know, and I mean there's just all sorts of invitations. We are also having a year end stretch get together for the current master's class students and anyone else who was ever a part of Stretch, and the people who are Stretch 2019, everyone who is part of Stretch really is invited to the year-end party. That is also going well, and we are busy with it. The year-end party is happening next week on the 26th, which means I'm going to be back in this town. So as I am recording this episode, I am in Johannesburg in my daughter's room. I am alone because she did not come home. She's somewhere in Midrand, which is fine. She's a big girl. And in 2 hours, I need to be at the airport. So I'm recording this now at 6. It's 6:26 in the morning. So one of the things, so I came to Joburg on Wednesday, and I had to meet with the camera crew, the people who will be doing my video, just giving them a concept of how I would like to have the lessons be on video. And yo, guys, I learned so much. I learned so much. So the person I met with, Ncebo. Yeah, Ncebo, like Darling Ncebo. It's Ncebo in Zulu. It's got a G because he kept emphasizing. Ncebo is a young star. He's like 25, guys. And he did film and TV at Boston College. And he's got a company called Who Are We? And I was like, I always used to call it Who We Are. And he's like, you see, that's the problem, our slave. My company name is a question. Who are we? And the films that we do, the projects that we get involved in, attempts to answer that question. And I was like mesmerized. And I'm like, there's young people who think like this. He's doing like fantastic work. He's the one who took my pictures at the Alone Dialogues, the very first Alone Dialogue I did in Soweto. If you look at those pictures, you'll see the kind of quality. He also did a video clip, which we were looking at because he took a video of the entire dialogue. And I had said to him, look, hang 10, don't release, let's talk about that video because I'm not sure if I want to release it as it is or what do I want. So we decided we're going to compress it to be 2 minutes as part of the promos of Alone Dialogues. Speaking of Alone Dialogues, another person I met with is Thuli, my Thuli. Thuli, who is fast becoming my assistant in a true sense, because she does the Alone. She works for me on the Alone side of the business or of my life. Remember, I have two books. It's an Alone series. And I'm going to be writing a third one. I don't know when. My son says I mustn't write a third one because this one nearly killed me. Why are you on your laptop so much these days? Please tell me you're not writing your third book. And I'm like, no, I'm just busy with Stretch content. And he's like, whew. And then he goes, thank God, thank you, Jesus, because that one nearly killed you. So Thuli is the admin, the go-to girl, the distribution, you know, she's sorting out the book side of things and the Alone Dialogues. So we were meeting to plan and roll out the Alone Dialogues for 2020 so that, you know, when you come to my site or our page, Alone page, you have a calendar, you know, for Alone Dialogues are happening in these months, on these days, so that in case you miss January, you can catch maybe March. You know, just to give you dates in advance and videos and venues in advance, and you can sort of plan your life around that. You know, so that's progress, eh? You plan a year ahead. And also now she's gonna be part of Stretch because she's like a kick-ass administrator. As an admin, Ashen, nah, Thuli is star. Or she crosses the T's and dots the I's. I suck her whole in those things. Yeah, so I had to meet with her. We spent quite a long time together because she's currently registering the people who are enrolling for Stretch 2020, and it's coming along nicely. I think so far we've registered 40. My target that will make me very, very comfortable is between 100 and 150, and it looks like it's gonna be there. It's gonna get there. So if you're listening to me now and you want to join Stretch, go to Facebook, go to the search tab, you know that the top there, type stretch class of 2020, it will immediately pop up, and then request to join. The induction has officially started, so this month is an induction month. So if you join, let's say now, as in today, if I add you, because you have answered my three questions, you need to go to the topics tab and start from week one, because I've covered quite a bit. I would not like anyone to join without having gone through the induction, because you must understand what you're getting yourself into. Stretch is not that group where we do support, where we talk, we complain about our problems, where we want to hear how big other people's problems are so that we can feel better about ourselves, where everybody can advise everyone. It's not that group. It's a school. There are specific concepts that I am going to teach you that will help you heal your deepest issues. That's how serious Stretch is. That's why it's called Stretch with Lady Bully. So do not assume what you think it is. Rather join the induction group. Get to understand what is it that I'm trying to build here. And if it's not your cup of tea, at the end of November, you can go out. You can leave the group, because end of November, anyone who remains in that group is anyone who has enrolled. I have Thuli this time around, so no one's going to be there who doesn't want to be there, you know. So we enroll, we'll get emails, and it's just done professionally. And for me, that tells me where I, as a person, as a teacher, is growing, and I, as a business person, is growing, because Stretch is one of, it's dual. It's both teaching, sharing my deepest gifts with you, assisting you and helping you become the best version of yourself as I become the best version of myself, but it is also business, because it is my main source of income. I get, you have your main source of income at your workplace, or with the gig that you're doing, or the projects that you have. Stretch is that for me. So I would appreciate if you would respect me enough to not play, you know. If you are in the group currently, and you know, because last week we did the fees and the structure and how payment is going to be done and the options that you chose. So if you are in the group and you saw all that, and you know in your heart, but actually you can't join for whatever reason, I'm not interested in the reasons. The point is, you know you're not going to join. It is better to exit now, the same way that you came and requested to join. Again, my friends, let's honor each other. Let's respect each other. I short for you, you short for me. Okay, so that is that. The other thing I did in Joburg was to attend the Real Estate Industry Summit. It's a first of its kind, and I had the honor of being invited by Amasi and Sandile. Amasi Moela is the CEO of Private Property. So the summit was created by Private Property and APSA, or sponsored by APSA, I don't know. But anyway, those are the two main logos there. And so I got the invite, and I attended because I was coming to Joburg in any case. And property, real estate is like very, very far from what I do. And also, given the trauma that I've had with buying property while I was blind, while I was still wet behind the ears, not understanding how huge a commitment it is to buy a house. I bought a house when I was 27, and by 28, by 30, it was repossessed because I didn't understand what a mammoth thing it is to buy a house. So I wanted to say, you know what, let me face this trauma, because when my house was repossessed at 30, I think I shut down, because it's a big, big trauma, people. It's a big trauma to go through something like that. And so as I am healing, as I'm becoming better and firmer and more sure of myself and my work, I thought to myself, the universe is so interesting. A real estate property invite, yeah, VIP for that matter, me, I get that kind of invite. And I just knew it's a divine thing. I think the universe was saying, now you're ready to listen to this kind of things because you're ready to buy. This whole year, I've been saying, I'm going to buy a house for my children. You know, I know my children are big, because this one friend of mine said, wait, Sulu's 27, and she's doing relatively well for herself. She's like a grown-ass woman. Tebe is a young adult. You want to buy a home for your kids. Why don't you buy a home for you? The kids can always come stay. We don't say that. I'm like, hey, yeah, you know. Sometimes the way we think, our belief systems and how we view things. And anyway, the point. Let me get back to the point. The point is, I felt like the universe is saying, I get it, this is what you want now. And this is what happens, my friends, when you start a healing journey, when you start paying attention to your life, when you start looking at your life with a very gentle but critical eye, if you can just appreciate the oxymoron there, very gentle but critical eye, and see what's happening in your life, and just follow the trends and follow where your life is leading you, the people that you are meeting, the situations you find yourself in, the opportunities you get exposed to, seemingly small little things. Those are the things the universe is constantly working with you. It is rigged in your favor. The things that you most desire, the things that are deep in your heart, the universe is going to show you whether they're good or bad. And this is why you ought to pay deep attention to your life. Because if what's in your heart is always just lack, negativity, victim mentality, sabotage, self-sabotage, that's what will keep recurring. Do you understand? You know this, right? That's what will keep recurring in your life. So I was very fascinated that I was invited to this summit when I would be in Joburg. So it wasn't like I'm getting out of my way. And the event, I'm going to post about it on Instagram because it links to my page, Lebopule's Work. So I'm going to share with you some of the things that I have learned today because I thought I would do it in the podcast. But I think it's better if I write about them. I'm going to write about real estate industry it's very, very, very white. And what that said to me is that, you know, as black people in this country wanting our land back, wanting, you know, obviously for apartheid sins to be rectified, the first thing we need to understand is real estate. And yes, there are real estate agents who are black, but that room was a sea of whiteness. It was a sea of whiteness. We were just the raisins. You know, think of a bun, and then you get these black raisins. That's how it was. So if you are interested in your land and in your security, your well-being and property, you have to understand this. You have to attend these kind of things. The other thing that I loved, or one of the presentations that stood out for me, was that from APSA, from APSA Home Loans Division. And this guy was painting a picture of how first-time home buyers are, like a criteria, what the dynamics are. And my eyes were like this big because I was like, oh, I never saw things like that. So for an example, he mentioned that if you, because I never even thought about it, if you come from a typical background of black people where a lot of our parents and their grandparents never really owned homes, never really went through the process of purchasing a home, viewing homes and getting a bond, that does two things. First of all, as a home, and I'm thinking about myself, because now I just bought, you know, the way I bought my house was so, in hindsight, was so glib. It was so careless. But it's because Nexatzeli. I just thought, I had come from renting, so all I thought was, oh, now I'm paying a bond. I thought it's the same. It's a completely different ballgame. And so he listed some of the things that first-time home buyers who have a background of not having parents buying their home. Yes, my mom bought a house, God is thank. I mean, I remember back when I was very, very young, or when she was buying the house, go East Bank, and there was this trauma and this fear, for no, why is she taking a bonded house? It's not gonna work, we're gonna starve. And she pushed through. And I remember my mom always used to say, ten in the doll, don't rent forever. But I think, you know, in as much as she understood what buying a home meant, she did not have the appreciation, she did not have the knowledge of buying a home at a particular level. You know what I'm trying to say? So I just saw my mistakes there, as that APSA guy was explaining what the drivers and motivations and whatever are, and what people look out for as first-time generation buyers. So if you're a second-generation buyer, like let's say you come from a home, especially youngsters right now, you come from a home where your parents bought a home in a nice suburb, apparently you are unlikely to rent for too long. So you might rent for a year and then immediately buy, because you have that kind of example. It was like such a fascinating thing. So I'm gonna blog about that. What else did I want to say? Yeah, Halima Motlanthe was the guest speaker, the keynote address. He spoke on land reform, restitution, and redistribution. And I'm gonna blog about it, because his speech made me cringe a bit in a few areas. It was almost, you know, when you can hear how this person is speaking to a particular audience. Yeah, I do not have to say more, but I'll unpack it, because I think I will write it better than I will say it. there were many, many cringeworthy moments. Our Khalim. Articulate, loved, well loved. I mean, there were applause and while I wanted to hide, because there was absolutely no need for Halima to do that. Anyway, I'll write about it. Thank you. Now, let us get into the topic of the day. The topic of the day is relationships part two. You will recall that last week I did a episode called What Relationships? What Are They For? If you have not listened to that, please, please listen to it first and then come to this one. And today, honestly, my angle is I'm turning things towards you. So I'm basically sort of giving you homework. So I'm going to leave you with more questions than answers, because I'm that type of person, you know? A teacher, ke murutabana. So I want to challenge you to probably look at your relationship slightly differently. I want you to spend the whole of next week just observing your relationship. And if you have a journal, that would help. Speaking of a journal, I'm going to have a free, a non-Stretch program related journal. So if you're not gonna join Stretch like ever, but you want a journal that will help you with journaling, yeah, I am creating that as well. Side note. So before I get into today's questions, let me just quickly recap. Like I said, so many of you responded to the relationships, you know, loving how I approached it, loving how deep I went. And I remember this one lady who said, I was never ready. I was never ready for that approach, because I thought you'd talk about things like communication is important. Yeah, you see, those are very important. But communication, but sex, romantic, love languages, yeah, those are they. But Ari, let's go to the depth of why we are in a relationship in the first place, because the kind of relationship you are in talks to so many things about you. It talks to where you are, like I said, so I'm recapping. No? It talks to where you are emotionally, where you are spiritually, what you're dealing with in terms of your childhood wounds, what you're dealing with in terms of the archetype that you carry, you know. So basically who you are being in the relationship, who are you becoming when you are in a relationship? That is extremely telling, and those are the questions I want you to ask yourself. Because relationships are probably the most spiritual things ever. So no matter what kind of relationship you find yourself in, there's a lot of spiritual work that you are busy undergoing, but you probably are not aware of that, because you look at relationships at a surface. You look at relationships from, ooh, Ratswanelan, ooh, he's my type, ooh, he's so good to me, he's so good in bed. When you go deep into relationships and the true meaning of relationships, it's oh, someone just paid me. What is this money for? I like it when I'm crazy sometimes, guys. Something is wrong with me. Okay, so where was I? Let me see. Point relationships show you. Yeah, so relationship will show you where you are at. But you will not see that until you do what? You turn the attention to yourself. And you check yourself. You scan yourself for it. You know, I've been with this guy for however many years. I've been married for this long. This is the temperature of our relationship. Our relationship is this way. And what is it saying about me? Also, the frustrations in your relationship are messages that are telling you, you understand? So last week I took you through all those things, and I used my relationship journey as examples. Remember I told you in the beginning, I used to date a particular type of guy who showed up. I mean, it was one issue. I was being the rescuer. I had taken an archetype of a rescuer. Why? Because I didn't want to be the victim. Why? Because I saw the victim in my mom. And also, I was bullied by boys. So I had two things. I was angry at men, and I did not want them to be anywhere near dominating me. And so therefore, I took on a dominating role by being the rescuer. And how did I manifest my rescuer syndrome? I financially provided. You know, I was the girl to go to. I was the one that will pour your petrol, pay the bill, sometimes borrow you my car. So, you know, you'd move in with me. I wouldn't move. And then when that phase ended, and during that phase, remember I did share, there was someone else who represented what I wanted in a guy. But because I had not grown and healed this whole trauma nyanayaka of being angry at men, I could not actually receive him in my life. Because you cannot receive good things unless you are ready to receive them. And unless you have created what? Space to receive them. There's an episode I did that says creating space. You want to listen to that as well. So I had not created room for Moto Ojoal until, you know, I healed and grew. And now I've created space for someone like Wongs, who is very similar to that guy, but there are dynamics that are interesting. And those dynamics talk to a karmic relationship that I have with Wonga. A lot of you, because I saw on the emails as they were coming in, one person's, the headline was karmic relationships. And then when I opened that email, because I was hoping it's short, when I just saw like paragraph after paragraph, I thought, no, it's like, I'll see it when I'm done with Jovic. So I'm gonna read them, and perhaps, depending on what I find from your emails, I may just do part three of this relationships, and then we can wrap it up, okay? So I shared my personal experience. Karmic relationships, that is the question. Karmic relationships are relationships where you have met your match, not in terms of lovey-doveyness, not in terms of, oh gosh, she completes me. Oh, but that hardly ever happens. That only happens in movies. A karmic relationship is when you have met the right person for you to heal your most deepest childhood wounds. Why do we always talk about childhood? Because that when you land on Mother Earth, when you were born, the first phase of your life is childhood. We all have a childhood. And we all get scarred by a childhood. No matter how amazing your childhood you think it is, somehow you get scarred along the way. Either early, by early I mean 0 to 7, or 0 to 10, or slightly late, which is 10 to around 18, 21. And then basically from 0 to 18, the entire experience of being a child is going to inform the kind of adult you are going to be. And a lot of us have wounds. I dare say all of us. And so we have to clean up all those things and heal those things. And then the relationships is the best place to do that. So you are in a karmic relationship if your partner is the one that is stirring quite a lot of things. Okay, if your partner first of all reminds you of your mom, there's a lot of things that your mom used to do that you just think, oh my god, but Stefina Liana, my wife Stefina is becoming my mom, then it means there's a lot of mother wounding and forgiving that you need to do. Anyway, the karmic relationship is a big topic. I will do it at stretch, so you see, I'll do it in detail. with my students, but I'm just giving you a gist of what it is. Okay, now for today, I want to challenge you about your relationships. I want you to spend the next few days taking a deep, deep look at your relationships, right? I want you to observe what are you giving in the relationship? What value do you bring? What do you bring to the table? What you bring to the table will tell you what is actually happening to you emotionally. Again, example, if what you're bringing to the table is you are the provider, and by provider I mean financially, so you are the one with the financial muscle, and when you look back, you find for that's it's been like that from the moment you started dating. Maybe you want to ask yourself, why is it that that's your value? Ask yourself, for if you did not have this financial muscle, what would you be giving in the relationship? What is the relationship? Who do you become without the thing that you think you bring to the relationship? If you're a homemaker, what informed that? Why is it that you chose to be a servant type person in the relationship? And a homemaker, obviously, right now I'm referring to a housewife. And no offense, guys, you know, we are just talking straight here. I'm not saying one is good, one is bad. I'm just saying, just look at reality as it is. What is the value that you bring in the relationship? And when you look at the thing that you bring in the relationship, it will tell you how, it will tell you, basically just go slightly deeper and ask what motivated me to be this way. Ask yourself, where else do I do this? Where else am I homemaking? Where else am I providing if you are the provider? Another thing, let's say in the relationship, you are the one that's being taken care of. You are the baby in the relationship. Your husband or your wife is your hero. In fact, I've written here on the site as a PS, many years ago, there's a friend of mine who basically was a client. I had supplied him with furniture. No, he was not those who didn't pay me. I mean, he paid me on time and all that. And I remember once we were at lunch and we were talking about relationships because he was fascinated with the fact that I'm just such a hardworking woman. And I remember he said, no, Nalebo, I'll never date you. Beautiful as you are, I would never date you because you are a man. I mean, I don't want women like you because I want a woman to look at me and think, my hero. Hey, I remember Ratsheha, you know. Actually, as I'm sharing this, I remember the lunch. It was a beautiful sunny day. We had lunch at Village Walk. Remember Village Walk? Before it became the posh thing that it is now. But you know, every time I come to Sandton, I swear to you, there's a new skyscraper. I swear. There's a new mirror, a blue. You know, the blue mirror type of buildings. Village Walk is something else. You know where there's Tasha's? Yeah, that building. Anyway, back in the days, it was called Village Walk, and it was very ordinary. It was, but it had beautiful restaurants. I used to love eating out there. And so we're sitting there, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and he was telling me how he'll never date me. And remember, those were the days where I was the rescuer. So energetically, he picked up for I never got sloppy with me. I want the victims. So if you are the one that looks at your partner as a hero, again, ask yourself, why? What informed that? Where in your childhood did you feel like you were not taken care of? Where in your life did you need a hero? Do you still need a hero right now? Is this serving you? Are you growing in the relationship? So whatever role you play in your relationship, you could be the provider, the hero, the homemaker, the one who's taken care of, the victim, the baby. Is that role that you're playing? I get you're interrogating your own life now, your own relationship. Is that role fulfilling you, or is it harming you? Should you be, have you overstayed your role? Because remember something, life is an ongoing process. It is a forward movement. It is, if the universe continues to expand, so you cannot afford to be stagnant, even in a relationship. The same way that you want to be the best version of yourself, I mean, you are a stretch, what Lebukule listener, podcast listener. So that already informs me for you are someone who wants to progress and become the best version of yourself. And the best version of yourself will show up also in relationships. And if you become the best version of yourself, your relationship will become the best version of itself. It will change. This is what my friend Joe always says, don't worry about your partner, worry about you. Worry about your own growth. The most difficult thing you can ever do. Because the knee-jerk reaction, the easy thing to do is to say, when I change, yeah, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. I want you to change. No, change you and your relationship will change. If your relationship won't change, it will dissolve. It will, your guy right now, you will not energetically vibrate at the same level anyway, anymore, and he'll fall off or you'll fall off. Or he'll match you. So as someone who wants to be the best version of themselves, trust and you love your partner because love is there. Yeah, maybe we'll do part three so that you can address the love and the romance. And so if you are committed to this person and you really want to grow with them, trust that if you snap out of this mode that you are in, you know, the provider mode, this whatever mode you are in, if you move on, if you become a better version of that, of yourself, trust that he'll do the same or she'll do the same. And if he falls off the wagon, then you know, unfortunately. I wanted to use an example of my parents. But I don't think I should. Let me not do that. Maybe it's too soon. I'll use it sometime later if I do a relationship podcast again. So that's question one. What are you giving in the relationship? Or to put it another way, who are you in the relationship? What role are you playing? Because we are all playing roles. Yeah, we actually are. The second question you want to ask yourself, my friends, is what are you getting? What are you getting in the relationship? Because what you'll find is that what you are getting generally will reinforce this role that you are playing. It will keep you there because I care that's what works. So you find relationships that work best if it's the man that provides financially. They work best. So what happens is that as a woman, you hold yourself back. You don't apply for promotions. You don't even want to study further. You are fine at the level that you are, so that you don't do what? You don't surpass him financially. You don't want to change the status quo of the relationship. So what are you getting? You are getting you are getting to maintain your role. So I want you to ask yourself that question. What am I getting? What is this relationship giving me? What is it reinforcing? What is challenging? Because I'm telling you, if your relationship does not challenge your comfort zone, you are probably not growing in that relationship. You are probably all just stagnant. You're just, it's dead. It's dead, and that's why, You know what? Next week we have to do the romance and the sex thing. We have to. Because a healthy, vibrant, positive, growth-induced relationship does not need sexual spicing. Hey, we're spicing things up. No, you won't. It will happen automatically. Don't miss next week. I think I'm going to go there. So for now, let's just stick to these questions. Let me check my time because I want to miss my plan. I want to miss my plan, guys. Three, what is my question? Question three is you need to ask yourself. So you observe, you start with what am I giving, who am I becoming in this, who am I in this relationship, what role am I playing, what am I getting. Three, could this relationship be better? And if your answer is yes, how would it be better? Because I can tell you now, anything, and I mean anything, can be improved upon. Anything. Don't you believe me? Look at technology. There was a time where BlackBerry was the thing. In fact, they were speaking about it at the summit, at the real estate summit, because, you know, in this day and age, you cannot ignore how fast technology is changing. Technology is changing everything, and it's always been like that. Every time there's a leap in technology, lives change completely. Technology drives change. So once upon a time, BlackBerry was the thing, guys. Remember when BlackBerry came on, and they actually dropped the ball so much, those guys, because they were leading. Remember when you got your BlackBerry, you never called it your phone anymore. If it's sitting over there, you'd say, hey, please pass me my BlackBerry. It wasn't like Impephone. If a BlackBerry can improved upon, put the iPhone, and then iPhone 4, iPhone 5, now there's iPhone 10 Max, X, or whatever it is. And I only talk about iPhone and Apple because it's a You know, there was a time where I never thought I'd be one of these people who are saying Apple or nothing. But sadly, with great sadness, I am those people. The only thing I love about Huawei is their pictures. But I believe Apple is now going to improve their camera game. You better, guys, because I ain't going Huawei. Okay, so if things that don't have consciousness, like you as a human being, can be improved upon, surely you can do better. Your relationship can be better. And if your answer to the question, could this relationship be better? The next question is how. Then it's going to challenge your role. The role that you are playing, it's going to be seriously challenged. The thing that you are getting that reinforces that role is going to be seriously challenged. And you see, the thing is, we are taught to look at change negatively. We are taught to not push ourselves, to not stretch ourselves. Your relationship could probably be the best thing ever. Sometimes your relationship probably needs a bit of unconventionality. Sometimes your relationship might probably need to be open, an open relationship, for it to be better. Sometimes your relationship might mean get married. Yeah, to be better. Not necessarily because, you know, marriage is a societal thing, but maybe that's what you need. Maybe all your traumas and whatever actually requires you to have that kind of commitment, that a traditional kind of commitment. Maybe your relationship needs space. Just ask yourself, could it be better? How will that betterment look? Okay. Four, what did I say here? And four is the last one. Yeah, four is very big, and I'll go deeper in it next week. Four is look at how you fight. Look at how you fight, guys. First of all, what are you fighting about? Why fight? Because fight is a power play. You look at the animal kingdom when the bull wants to take over a particular head of, let's say, a buffalo. Let's use lions because they're quite easy. When a lion wants to be the head of the pride, they will have to fight so that they have that. So it's a power play. So fighting is a power play. So what you fight about, ask yourself that question and write in your journal, we fight about this, we fight about that, we fight about that. There's probably going to be three things that you generally fight about. And those things would include the following three. Sex is a bone of contention. Money, definitely. And time. So if you could look at those, and then there's other things. You know, Joe says a lot of couples fight for household chores and things like that. And I've actually never experienced that in all my relationships. And it's actually something I've never thought about, because right now, Wongs is the one we have someone who cleans for us. We have a domestic worker who's now going to come twice a week because, it's that tough in terms of our time. But Wongs is the one that does the cleaning. He enjoys it very much. He loves to clean. He prefers to do his own clothes. He loves to iron. And so he enjoys that. I cook. Yeah, I'll clean if it's dirty. If the kitchen is messy, I'll do the dishes and clean up. But I cook, and the kitchen is mine. Yeah, from time to time he'll offer. He's like, "Yeah, let me cook today," and I'm like, "Yeah, cook." And then when he stands in that kitchen, something just not doesn't add up. And then I'm like, "I suga." But I don't do it to him because he's a man. I do it to anybody, even at home, when I still lived with my parents. I just wanted to cook alone. Sometimes Tsolo would cook, but I would be that annoying person that when she turns around, I would taste and then add a little bit of spice. Yeah, I'm bad. Bad. At the retreat, I was cooking with Mandy, so we were just exchanging days. She was the co-chef. And there was this one time she wanted to cook together, and I'm like, "Hell no. You are not cooking with me." The delegates. Anyway, I'm digressing. I'm digressing. So fighting will demonstrate where the power lies and how you guys do the power play, right? I want to share this thing. There's a series called Big Little Lies. I loved it. It was supposed to be a mini series, meaning it was supposed to just be one season. But we loved it so much that obviously, the audience, the viewers demanded that Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman and the people who just produced that series to do season two. I've only watched episode one of season two. I'm waiting to binge on them. Anyway, there is Nicole Kidman in season one was her role was that of an abused woman, a battered woman, beaten up badly by her husband. And because they were very, very, very middle class, and her friends didn't know her. Nobody knew that she's going through this unbelievable trauma in the home. And so eventually, the husband was a typical abuser. He'd beat the hell out of her, then they'll have sex, that angry sex. So it was just a toxic, toxic thing, where Lalwana, we beat each other up, and then for some reason, that violence turns you both on, and then you're gonna have this wild sex, and then it's the end. And then peace for about a week or two, or maybe a month, and then the episode repeats itself again. A little small thing ticks him off, he hits her, she hits back, he chokes her, beats her up, then chow didn't say chow her, then have sex. So eventually they decided, you know what, let's go to therapy. Let's Oh yeah. So the husband, because he's a typical abuser, he'll then come back remorsed and like, "Yo, I'm so sorry. Here's flowers. Let's go on holiday. I'll buy you the best gift." I mean, he had money and all that. So this one time they were in therapy. No, they were not in therapy together. Nicole Kidman had gone alone to see the therapist because I think when you start counseling and when you start healing, you can't ignore. You can't unknow. When the therapist is showing you that the problem is this, and this won't be solved unless you leave. So you can't pretend to not have had that. So she sneaked alone to see the therapist on her own on a day that was not their day. I mean, she just quickly asked for her to see her. And there was this one time where she, in that scene, she said to the therapist, "There's a time where I have the power." And the therapist was like, "What do you mean? When do you gain power?" And she said, "I gain power when he has beaten the hell out of me, and the bruise are still very visible, and I am still hurting. For that week or two, I have the power." And she says, "So what does he do?" "I don't know. He becomes so loving, so remorseful, so guilty. He will take me out, he'll buy me the best flowers, he'll buy me a gift, and then I have the power for that time." But then the power switches. And when does the power switch? The therapist asks. When the bruise has ended, when I seem to be normal again. And then he gains power and he shows his power by beating me up again. So it is a toxic, toxic cycle. So I want you to look at what you fight about and how you fight and where the power play is in your relationships, right? Look, when do you gain power? When is it, yeah, no, I'm in power now. And when is it her or him that's in power in your relationship? I'm asking you to do this so that you can hopefully write back to me and share your thoughts. And I will probably edit this as part of the podcast next week. But the relationships are yours, guys. And one thing about relationships that you must never ever forget is that, bad as it might seem, it is there for your own good. A relationship is one of the best places you can ever be in to become the best version of yourself. Even if eventually it means you must leave the guy or the lady. It's a place where you grow. It's a place where you cook. Next week I'll talk about how a relationship makes you a better person. I'll delve into that, and then we can wrap up the episode. Okay. For now, I hope this was helpful. 51 minutes. Let me love you and leave you. No. That's not my signature. My signature is, I wish you love and all green lights, always, always, always. Take care. Let me jump into a shower and head to the airport. I will see you next week. If this episode or my podcast is doing the things in your life, if it's doing the pods, you can support it by contributing any amount that comes from your heart. You simply go to lebopule.co.za, go to the podcast tab, and go to support, podcast support. It will just show up there, and then you do the things. Okay, otherwise, I'll see you next week. I wish you love and all good.